This afternoon we want to continue our study through 1 John. So if you have your Bibles and will turn with me to 1 John. And this afternoon we're going to pick up where we left off in chapter 3. We were looking last week at the significance and the importance of our position of righteousness in Christ and what the fruit of that. We talked a little bit about it this morning, and in some ways the lesson this afternoon is going to tie in with this morning's teaching as well out of 1 Timothy. So I'd like to begin to at verse 9 this afternoon, and I'm going to read through verse 18, and 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was the wicked one, and slew his brother Abel. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death into life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon and help us to understand the two directions that men go in this world. One is following Satan and one is following you. Lord, if we claim to be your child today, you have redeemed us out of darkness into light that we may follow you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand what this means and should mean in our life. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. John, in this particular paragraph that he's opening up this in this letter, in verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for sin remaineth in him, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, what does it mean there, he cannot sin? We talked a little bit about that on Thursday night, and it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a whole way that we perceive and do things, and that as Christians, we are set free from that. It doesn't mean that we can't commit individual sins, but it means rather our lifestyle and the way that we conduct ourselves and what manner of life we live. This morning we looked at what Paul told Timothy he should be focusing on and not following the heretical teachings of the false teachers in the church. Those false teachers are really teaching worldly doctrine, and Satan wants you to get to follow worldly doctrine by putting Christian terms to it and thinking it's of Christ when it's not. Well, the same thought is here from John, and he's saying, does an act of hatred towards the brethren, and does an act that is ungodly lifestyle have a place for Christians in the church? And it does not. And that's the whole theme of what we're looking at this afternoon, is what do our lives reflect and how do they reflect them in relation, first of all, to the church, and secondly, to those that are outside the church that are not believers. So first of all, our relationship to believers as well as our relationship to unbelievers. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest. In other words, the revelation of what we are, that we are God's children, is revealed through our attitudes and our actions, which reflect the character of Christ. And he says, how are they revealed? The children and the children of devil are also revealed, and they're revealed through their actions. So we see that that he's speaking here of two different groups of people. One is those that love God, and the other is those that hate God. And the way that we determine who they are, Jesus used the term, by their fruits you shall know them. And what the Lord was saying, and he had evidence of that as he spoke with the people that were right before him. They had those that claimed to be very, very religious when Jesus walked on the earth. They claimed to be very righteous, and that was the Pharisees. But yet they were neither religious nor righteous because they desired to have no relationship with God. Instead, they were self-consumed and desired only to follow themselves. Now we see here that he says here that in verse 10, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. And this morning we looked at what righteousness is. Righteousness is the purity of heart, conformity to divine law. It's seeking, working itself out in justice, honesty, and virtue. Those are characteristics and lifestyle that should be in the heart of the believer. We didn't touch on some of the other characteristics that I just mentioned, justice, honesty, and virtue this morning, but those are things that should be something that should mark a Christian's life. He should desire justice. He should hate that which is evil. He should hate that which is unjust, or where the God's character isn't being upheld and the truth of God's word isn't being adhered to, and he should despise that, and what the world doesn't mind injustice. And you see an evidence of that in our political thing that's going on now. You have individuals in our country who although they may have committed a crime, it was like a misdemeanor. It wasn't that big of a crime, but it was a crime. And others have lived a whole life and done nothing but commit crimes, and they're allowed to just do whatever they want, where the other person who may have done something slight has the book thrown at them and put in jail and all kinds of things. That is a mark of injustice, because there is no justice. And the believer should be bothered by that, but they should even be more bothered by the fact that people think that they can get by with doing sin and there's no accountability. The believer understands accountability because he understands God's in control, and all men stand accountable to God, and that God will be just in his dealing with men, and that if you are not covered by the blood of Jesus, have not confessed your sins, been forgiven of your sins, and cleansed of your sins, you will one day stand accountable to God, and justice will be maintained. So we see here that the two different people, one doesn't care about justice at all. The other, justice is extremely important to them because God is a just God. The other is, we see honesty. Honesty is tied to truth. God is truth. There is no error or lie in him. Yet Jesus said, what about Satan? He's the father of lies. His whole life is bent on getting men to believe his lies, to follow his lies, and to become liars themselves. Where God desires that we be men and women of the truth, and when we're saved, truth is significantly important to us. That's a mark of godliness. The third thing is virtue. Virtue is that I desire what is holy, righteous, and pure. And that is a mark of virtue. And virtuous lifestyle should be that of a believer. Now, the unbeliever, they don't really care. All they care about is their own passions and desires and fulfilling those, and they yield constantly to the world, the flesh, and Satan. We should constantly be at war with the world, the flesh, and Satan, and desire to stand against it. So we see that he says that in verse 10, and that whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now it comes down to this, and he's speaking of those that are in the church, but they don't act like they're Christians. Okay? And he says, now, we've just been saying what the world is. They're not righteous. They don't care about justice. They don't care about virtue. They don't care about all those things. We looked at this morning, and when we looked at the Apostle Paul, one of the things that he said should mark the life of the believer is agape love. That is a true love, a love that desires not to receive something in return. Before I will show you love or do anything for you, I need to get something back. That's what the world does, constantly trade things. We are willing to share and show our love and compassion to people, not because we get something back, but because Jesus did it for us. When we were sinners, when we deserved judgment, He showed us love. And He called us out of darkness into light. Likewise, that should be the result of the way we react with people. How do you react with fellow believers? Do you hate them? No. And if you do hate them, then you need to ask yourself, are you really God's child? And that's what John is saying here. Because what should mark our reaction within the body of Christ is love towards one another. Now, I've been in churches where people would hold grudges for 40 years. Never forgiving over really quite incidental things that really didn't matter in the long run and scope of life. But they wouldn't forgive. And unforgiveness is a mark of a lack of love. And the Bible tells, if I'm unwilling to forgive, have I been forgiven of my sins? Because I don't understand forgiveness. And if I haven't learned to love, have I ever experienced Christ's love? That's what John is saying. And he's saying, you can look at those that knew the truth, and he gives the example of two brothers. And he says, by this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. Now, what were Cain and Abel? They were brothers. They're both involved in agriculture. Cain raised plants, flowers, beautiful things. Abel raised animals. He was a herdsman. Abel was a righteous in that he understood he was a sinner only saved by the grace of God. He also understood that the Lord had said it's only by the shedding of blood that is there a remission or forgiveness of sins. And he understood that the Messiah was coming, that there was coming this one who would be the Lamb of God. He understood the whole purpose of a sacrificial lamb. And so the altar that Abel set up was a bloody altar. And it had blood on it because he sacrificed the lamb. Now Cain established his altar, but he established it on his terms. He didn't look at what God had said, didn't believe what God had said, and so he established an altar, and if you looked at the two altars, there's no doubt in my mind, Cain's altar was the much more beautiful of the two. Because he would have had all of his produce laid out there, and all the flowers and plants that he had grown, they would be there. There was no blood on Cain's altar. And God rejected Cain's sacrifice. He said, you don't understand. You're not willing to understand. Now, what Cain did is instead of repenting and asking God's forgiveness, and his brother Abel, I know, would have given him or sold him or something a lamb if he wanted to sacrifice a lamb, but he didn't want to. Instead, he wanted to come to God on his terms. And when Abel revealed the righteousness of God in the sacrifice and the way that he worshiped God, Abel was walking in the light, Cain was walking in the darkness, and the darkness hated the light, and so what Cain did is he went and he slew his brother. Okay? Yet, they should have loved one another. There weren't that many people around yet. And they were brothers. They'd both grown up in the home of Adam and Eve. They had both been told what had happened when Adam and Eve sinned and were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And yet, there was this direct opposite responses when God made this revelation to them. And John is saying, who was walking in darkness and who was walking in light? Cain was walking in darkness. He did not have the love of God in his heart. That's why he slew his brother, because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. It had nothing to do with desiring a walk from God, a walk with God. It only desired that if I get my brother's accepted sacrificial system out of the way and get my brother silenced, no longer will I have conviction in my heart because he won't be revealing to me what I did wrong. So, he says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Okay? So he's saying, okay, if you're truly a believer in Christ and truly walking in the love of God, marvel not that the world hate you. We had one of the prayer requests tonight that we pray for this man who wouldn't receive a tract, who was using vile and filthy language, and then when he was given a tract, went to the store management, complained, and so they asked the person handing out tracts not to do that anymore, that they weren't going to allow tracts to be handed out in their store. Why couldn't he just take in the tract if he didn't want to read it, do what he did, tear it up, and leave? Because he hated what was being presented to him. Why? Because it convicted him of his wicked, vile lifestyle that was in rebellion to God. And the world hates the light, and they want to silence the messenger. And so we see that it happens even in our world today. We know not that we have passed from death unto life because we love. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And so again, he gives us these two examples, the believer and the unbeliever. How do you know the difference between the two? The believer loves even his enemy. Now, people say to me, how could Jesus say, pray for your enemy and, or love your enemy and pray for those who despitefully use you? How could Jesus say such a thing? Well, because Jesus did that for us. Didn't Jesus, when he's hanging on the cross, what did he say to the Father in regards to those who would say, crucify him, crucify him? And it caused him to be hanging on that cross, whether they be Jew or Gentile. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They did not understand. They thought they were getting rid of a heretic, when really they were crucifying the Son of God. And they were the ones that did it, had it happened. But really we all did. And it was all of our sins that placed Jesus on the cross. And so John is saying here, that he who hateth his, that we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And here again we go back to heart attitudes and what is our life action. And if I say that I'm a Christian, but I'm unwilling to forgive somebody for 40 years, and I harbor anger and hatred against the person, I don't even want to talk to them, I don't even want to be in the same room as them, and yet we both claim to be Christians, there's a real problem. Because he's saying here, if I'm harboring that kind of malice and hatred in my heart and bitterness, it's as if I'd murdered the person. Because that's really what I want to happen. I want them out of my sight. I don't want anything to happen to them. Anything to do with them, rather. And the thing is, we need to understand that as a believer, ours is to be an attitude of unconditional love, and that we love even our enemies and pray for them. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, he's saying, Jesus laid down his life for those that hated him. How much more should we lay down our lives for those that we say are our brothers in Christ? How much more should we forgive them? How much more should we love them? Because we're supposed to be on the same page. We're supposed to be worshiping the same God, have been forgiven of our sins by the same Redeemer. But yet if there's this vile hatred between us, there's an issue. And John is saying the issue is an issue of the heart. The issue is an issue of love versus hate. And the issue is examining our life in relation to Christ. Are we really Christ? Are we really walking with Jesus? Are we really doing that which we've called to do? But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother in have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, I want you to see here an interesting thing, because some people use this verse to say, okay, you've got to take all your money and every need you see that any person in the world's got, you've got to meet it. That's not what the verse is saying. The verse is saying amongst the brethren. And what was happening, especially at the time of John, also in the day in which we live, there are people that accept Christ, that live for Christ, that will not deny Jesus. And because of their faith in Christ, they suffer severe consequences from the world. And by the world, I mean the world spirit, the world attitude. And we see, for example, in Muslim countries, oftentimes Christians are persecuted, lose their jobs, lose their possessions, and even may lose their lives or families. And likewise, even in with some of the things that happened in our country, where we saw that there was people that were brought under strong conviction that certain things were not being done according to biblical principle, and they stood for truth, and some of them lost their job. You can think of those nurses who won't perform abortions. You can think of doctors who wouldn't, for example, give some of the shots or do some of the things that were demanded, some of the medications that they knew would harm their patients. They wouldn't do it. They lost their jobs. Some of them are believers. Well, what Paul is saying, or what John is saying here, is if we see a fellow believer who's got a financial, physical need, and we have the means to meet it and to help him, we should help them. He doesn't say that every person that's standing out here in the corner with a sign saying, out of work, give me money, and they're just of the world, and half of them are probably making more money than you by begging for money, because they don't pay any taxes, don't pay anything, they just collect cash. And the thing is, who should we feel guilty about not giving anything to? The person who's a Christian, who is suffering because of their walk with Christ, and we have the means to help them, but we don't give to them, but we may give the guy on the corner $20. Well, we're not called to give the guy in the corner $20. He's saying we're called to give our fellow brethren help when they need help. And that's a mark of our love. And then he goes on to make a statement that's very interesting. He says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, why would he say that? Because it's very easy to say, I love you, Jesus. But it's very hard to live that love and put it into action. Do you really love the lost? If we really loved the lost with deep compassion, we wouldn't be ashamed of sharing the gospel. We wouldn't have our feelings hurt if they got mad at us, and so we won't share the gospel or whatever. If we really loved indeed, if we saw that a brother or sister had a need, and they really had a need, we would, and God had blessed us, and we had money, He would help convict us, you need to share, and we would gladly share. And so he's saying it's not enough to say we need to do these things, but we need to put it into action on a daily basis. But the action just isn't based on I'm doing all these things and I put a little checklist. It's based on truth. It's based on truth. And so truth needs to be that by which marks the actions and the choices that we have in life. It's just not done arbitrarily picking and doing things, but rather it's done based on the truth of God's word and what he says, and that is the foundation that our life is lived on, the truth of God and his word. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word. Thank you for this lesson. Thank you for some of the things we could build on this morning's lesson with. And Father, I pray that you just help us to walk in not just word and in what we say, but rather in deed and in truth. And that the actions of our life are based on the truth of your word, and we truly express your love and not what the world would have us express. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me.